to 1360. Good afternoon, Jeff. Darren Smith in San Diego. How are you?
Good to be on with you, Darren. It's a good time to be down here in Houston. It's really good for me because I'm on with you twice in the last week.
I love that. We should plan on this being a regular basis here with Jeff Blum. We can never hear enough great Jeff Blum stories. One of our favorite players ever to interview when Blummer was in uniform here in San Diego a couple of different times. Hey, I know Blummer, the story from game one was obviously Charlie Morton, and some might think, wow, okay, that's really terrible news for Atlanta. But if there's one thing I'm guessing these two fan bases will agree on, it is the admiration that everybody has for Charlie Morton. Such an instrumental piece of the World Series puzzle in 2017.
Absolutely. That guy, he endeared himself to us. And he was one of those guys that the Astros signed in the offseason, and you kind of said, wow, Charlie Morton, he's still around kind of thing. And he showed up in spring training and came out and started to throw about 96, 97. And I had faced Charlie Morton back when he was with Pittsburgh throwing 92, maybe topping out at 92. And immediately I'm on the broadcast. I'm going, this is not the same guy that I remember facing. And oddly enough, we have the interview with him after the game. You know, hey, Charlie, you're throwing 97 now? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I don't know how I did that. I did like a Pilates class, and now I throw hard. But, I mean, he is a true character, but one of the purest guys you're ever going to meet. And he has just endeared himself to every team he's played for.
Yeah, I obviously, Blummer, not only through yourself, but obviously the former manager as well, knowing exactly what Charlie Morton meant. Nobody was happy to see that in Houston last night. Hey, what's the vibe there today, by the way? Because if we're going to, and I know it's not the right thing to do, but if you're going to go back to the World Series in 2019, what is this, five straight World Series games lost at home inside of Minute Maid?
Yeah, it's not good to have that kind of track record at home, because the whole purpose of the Astros playing as well as they did was to get that home field advantage, where it really helped them in 2017, 18, 19, you know, when they got to the World Series. But then 2019, where the script got completely flipped, and, you know, every baseball pundit was just in shock that the home team lost every game in that 2019 series. You say, how could that ever happen again? And here we are, with five straight home losses now for the Astros in that building. So there is a little bit of concern. Hopefully it's just an oddity and these guys can figure it out, but it's got to be driving all those conspiracy theorists nuts knowing that they're losing at home.
Absolutely. I mean the conspiracy theorists, you know, they absolutely will be harping on that. Jeff Blum joining us on Extra 1360. So we'll see game two. We'll listen to game two. We have it on the radio station coming up a little later on tonight. Blummer, did you realize that it was 16 years ago yesterday that the 2005 White Sox won the World Series, a team that you were on?
Yes. And not only do I know it internally, but I also know it because I'm active on social media. And, you know, I'm grateful for all of the teams that I've played for, but the Chicago White Sox faithful have a tendency to remind me on this date every year what happened in that great season of 2005.
Is that a day that you break out the World Series ring, or is that part of the regular repertoire for Jeff Blum?
You know what? Anytime things get desperate around the house, having, you know, five women and two female dogs, if things get a little rough, I pop the safe open and look at the ring and remind myself that I had a pretty good day a while back.
had a pretty good day. Blubber, the name Ozzie Guillen popped up here in San Diego yesterday. It was reported by multiple outlets that the Padres have interviewed Ozzie Guillen. This was the manager in 2005. He was the manager of the White Sox. He's a World Series winner. He's a very popular figure. He is still very much part of the White Sox organization. He's a broadcaster with the team in a similar capacity to you. When you see or hear that name linked to a managerial opening, what goes through your mind?
I wonder how long it's going to take until he does get a job. You know, I'm just full disclosure, I am an Ozzie Guillen fan, friend. We have had great moments together. He's a guy I played against later in my career and later in his career. And he's also a guy that was my third base coach with the Montreal Expos when Jeff Torborg took over. So, and then I played for him in 2005. And, you know, the reason that Ozzie Guillen traded for me in 2005 is because of that relationship that we have. And he knew what he was getting, and he knew that I could play within the Ozzie Guillen mentality and rules that he has. And I know he comes with a lot of baggage. He's a passionate guy, has a tendency to speak off the cuff. But I also think that, you know, he's matured over the last decade or so since that episode he had in Miami with the Marlins and getting, you know, subsequently released from that contract. But he is a guy who knows the game. He's kept up to date with it. He does a lot of the pre and post for the Chicago White Sox, like you're talking about. So he's still plugged in, and he's got a great relationship, I believe, with the White Sox. So he still has an idea of where this game is going and how it's evolving. And I think the idea of him in San Diego is a unique one, just in the sense that he is bilingual, you know, being Venezuelan, being able to speak both English and Spanish and accommodate that diverse clubhouse that the Padres have.
You mentioned you were aware of Ozzie Guillen's rules and mentality. Could you explain that? And maybe, who knows how much has changed here since the last time that he managed Blummer, but what does that mean when you walk inside of a clubhouse? What is that standard?
I mean, it's pretty basic. And you know what? He actually had, you know, we were having some issues down the stretch where we started to lose games, and, you know, he was popping off in the papers, and we're going, man, this guy's really getting after us. So he sat us down and actually had a team meeting, and he told us man to man, he said, if you guys go out there and win a ball game, I'm going to tout you as the greatest team that ever played this game. But if you have your faults and we lose because of a particular error or a bad inning or a bad swing, he goes, I'm just going to state the facts and say, play well today, and you're going to have to live with that. And I think it's a little bit of the player mentality that he had when he was playing back in his day. If he had a good day, he played well. If they didn't win the game, it was a team loss, and there were certain guys you could point the finger at. And he made us understand that, you know, if things went well, he was going to praise us. But if things didn't go well, and if there was a moment that he could pinpoint or place maybe blame a little bit on somebody, he's not going to be afraid to say that. But that's just Ozzie Guillen. What you see is what you're absolutely going to get, both on the field and in the clubhouse.
And that works, in your opinion, in 2021?
You know what? I don't know if it does, to be honest with you, because I've been around a couple of managers here now with the Houston Astros, and obviously talking to some of my contemporaries who have moved into that managerial front office position. I think that you have to have that strategic mentality and still have that baseball intelligence to go out there and manage the game and work your personnel, put them in the right positions to succeed. But at the same time, I'm really seeing a lot of the successful guys have really done a good job of really getting in and getting to know each guy on the roster as an individual and treating them as an individual. Instead of coming in, flipping a table and screaming at 26 guys, I think that each manager I've talked to has really put an emphasis on getting to know the human being and understanding how to motivate that individual. And then when you get on the field, that's when you all of a sudden you hope the individuality turns into a team success.
Somebody was telling me yesterday Ozzie Guillen was not a manager that had a lot of rules. As a matter of fact, somebody simplified it and said there were like three rules: be on time, top step of the dugout for the national anthem, and no double cupping, whatever that means. It sounds like he was mostly an easy guy. What is double cupping, by the way? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of different variations that they're testing for some of that stuff now, so I'm going to back off on that.
All right, fine. We'll move on from that. Sorry, probably shouldn't have read that on the air. But was he a manager that had very few rules?
No, that's Ozzie's mentality. You know, he grew up in the 80s and 90s playing the game where it didn't matter what you did off the field. It just mattered if you showed up and you got into the game and played hard for that guy on your right and that guy on your left. And that's how our 05 team was. Is that we were actually a group of guys who, you know, we were unique personalities. We had our diverse clubhouse. You know, we had an A.J. Krasinski. We had a Carl Everett. We had Paul Konerk or Jermaine Dye. We had some of the coolest guys in the world to some of the hottest guys in the world. But when we stepped on the field, for whatever reason, we meshed, and we just knew that if I didn't get the job done, the guy behind me was going to get it done. And while I was in that, batter's box, there were going to be 24 other guys cheering their brains out for me. So it was kind of that mentality of, hey, you know what? We all have our flaws. We're going to learn to deal with it. But when we're in this uniform and we're on this field, we're going to go out there and bust our ass to go out there and win a game.
Blummer, I have no idea what the Padres are actually looking for. I just watched, you know, this season back in 2021, which just ended in, you know, it appeared like at times, you know, that this clubhouse was a little bit, and I say this not being able to go in the clubhouse, it's just, you know, the way you hear certain things and things that have been reported that have been out there in full view, but it seemed like it was a little bit unstable. And when I think about adding stability, I don't know that Ozzie Guillen's the first name that I come up with. But then again, the flip side of it is maybe it's crazy enough that it might actually work given the dynamics here. I know it's tough for you to talk about it because you're thousands of miles away, but in terms of you know, adding a little bit into the perceived chaos of it or being able to stabilize it a little bit, how do you think Ozzie Guillen fits in that?
I think it could be very interesting because, you know what, you know, one of the terms I heard when I was playing with Ozzie in 05 and I heard it from the media, you know, is crazy like a fox.
Yeah.
And he could be one of those guys that could be just crazy enough to make these guys believe. But also at the same time, he could be crazy enough to create a little bit of a diversion and, you know, put the you know, maybe the spotlight on him as opposed to what's going on in that dugout or in that clubhouse. But at the same time, if you have volatile and, you know, highly passionate ball players all in one clubhouse, sometimes the results can be interesting to say the least. But I don't think that's Ozzie's intent if he ever gets back in that managerial spot.
By the way, I mean, as a talk show host, I love interesting. Interesting is the name of our game around here.
Yeah, Ozzie is it, man.
Are you surprised he hasn't gotten another managerial gig since Miami?
You know what? Part of me is yes, part of me is no, because I know that this day and age, you know, this climate socially and you know, with the amount of sound bites and, you know, things that are going on, he could be one of those guys that would be a little bit scary to say that, you know, to say a little bit, where if he gets in front of a microphone, is he going to say something that's going to, you know, put your organization in a bad light, or is he going to frustrate a player or put somebody on edge? So I understand that aspect. But I am a little bit surprised just because he's got a pretty good track record and he's also got some pretty good influence inside the game. I still think that there are a lot of players in this league who would love to play for a guy like Ozzie Guillen.
Blummer, you're the best. Thank you for doing this as always. We love chatting with you. Thanks. Maybe we'll call you again next week. We'll see.
That would be a great thing. You guys make it easy. It's always good talking to you. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you, buddy. That's Jeff Blum, everybody. Astros broadcaster from Houston. A couple quick thoughts on the World Series, Game 1, and then some thoughts on what it was like playing for Ozzie Guillen. We'll be back.